Tuesday the 31st of August, Kof Aleph Elul, Rabbi Raka Garson, Censorship and Chisronos Hashas, What the Gemara Tells Us.
Morning. The actual title is, what you've got in your, the curtis in front of you is actually what does the Gemara tell us about the sounds of Christianity, something slightly different, rather than focusing on Elul, although it ties in with the Masechta Megillah Daf Yomi now, so there is a slight link to Inyan HaDayoma. This is a Shia I heard by Rabbi Shmuel Space, and a Shia I heard by Rabbi Conwell several years back, that's also put together myself. And this is the question. The question is, what does the Gemara tell us about one of the world's biggest religions and how as Jews we have to react towards them? The challenge we have is actually finding the sources, simply because back then the priests were quite into the Gemara, they knew all of it, and they took it all out, so you won't find it in the Vilna Shas. There is a lovely little book, which some people may have, which is called the Chisronos Hashas, which tells you what was there, and with this book you can begin to reconstruct what Jewish tradition tells us about it. If you haven't got this book, it's available online, jewishbooks.org, that's an amazing website, and I gave this shiur several months ago in the city to a group of lawyers, and one of them asked me, how do you know that what's in the Chisronos Hashas is authentic? Could be it was made up. So my good friend, who's now my mishpacha, Benji Zimmerman, actually has the handwritten manuscript of the Gemara prior to printing. He said he never checked it out. I asked him to check it out, and they're all there. So they are authentic. There is a second book, which is a secular book called Christianity in Time with the Midrash, written by a guy called Hereford, which is probably full of apikorsis, and he sees JC on almost every page. There are a couple of points in there which are accurate. There is a tradition, Chazal say that if they wanted to speak about Yeshu, they spoke about him in a different way. For example, Bilam, they say that he was Bilam, who was 33 years old when he was killed, and his father was a carpenter. You begin to think maybe that they're speaking about someone else. But what's interesting is if we start, we take the first sources you have in your sheet there. If you go to Gemara Sanhedrin, for example, most classic Gemaras as they are printed here, and here's one I printed out earlier, you will see there's a massive gap at the bottom of the page, and that's not just, you know, to write in your notes that it's a particularly difficult Gemara. There's a large chunk that was left out. So much so that the church also censored the Rashi as well. At the bottom here, there's a Rashi that comments on the Gemara that doesn't exist. There's our going beyond, that's not in the Gemara. And they also censored Tosfos as well. So let's begin. Gemara says, V'atanya b'erev Pesach talul Yeshu, some say Yeshua Notri, that on erev Pesach they hung, Yeshua Notri, not what you're thinking of necessarily. V'akruz yoytze lefanav, and the announcement went before him, many on 40 days. Kodesh yoytze lefanav, before he went out to be stoned. Now, obviously the first question is, if he was hung, then why was he stoned? But that's not necessarily a contradiction. For those who have been studying Daf Yomi, will know that everyone that was stoned was suffering from your hand. Now, if the Jews did kill Yeshua, as we know it, then he wasn't actually crucified. That's quite clear from this Gemara. What was he guilty of? The Gemara continues, guilty of forms of black magic and causing others to worship, avoid the Zohar idol worship. The Gemara continues, Kol mi sheyodeh lo zechut yavo v'ilamed alav. Anyone that had a merit to perhaps get this guy off the hook should come and teach this zechus. But no matter who zechus, they didn't found it. The Gemara concludes with Talul b'erev Pesach. They hanged him on erev Pesach. Now, first problem we have with this is that for those that have Daf Yomi Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Hey, it's quite clear that a basin does not function on erev Shabbat or erev Yom. The reasons that the Gemara gives over there. Yeah, here it says quite clearly that the execution took place on Erev Pesach. That's one issue to deal with. Ullah comes along and he says, I don't understand what's going on. Amar Ullah, the Tizbra by Hafuchi Zakuto. How can you say this guy has got any merit to him? Who maces the, he's a maces. He's someone that incites others to do avoid the Zohar. Rahman Amar and Torah says, Lo tachmo velo techamte alav. There is no mercy for someone involved in such a sin. It's a media execution. So why, therefore, did this man called Yeshua Notri have the special treatment, so to speak? And this the Gemara answers, Karav Lemalchus. He had friends in high places. So he was taught differently. He was treated differently. Because there's a lot of issues in this Gemara. Firstly, who's teaching? And secondly, when did this take place? It really seems to transcend any historical context, where we put it in our history. The Gemara then continues and does something which is quite bizarre, and says, Tal Rabbanu Chamisha Talmidim Hayu Lo LeYeshu. Yeshu has five Talmidim, five Gospels. Matai, which does sound a little bit like Matthew, Nakai Nasa Arboini Betoris. And the Gemara goes on and says, we'll see this in a minute, that they brought Matai to the court, and Amar Lehu Matai Yarek, and he said, are you going to kill me? How can you kill me? I can see the prophet says to him, Matai Abo Beret Penelokim, when will I come and see Hashem's face? Are you going to kill me? So the Gemara responds, yes, we will kill you. Matai Yarek, saying the words, Matai Yamut Revat Shemo. Also prophet can tell him, right, when will he die and his name be obliterated? This means that this has nothing to do with the way Basin works. You don't conduct a trial like this. So when we look at this Mekor, we look at the source, we have to ask ourselves the question, are we dealing with history? Or are we dealing with what we call theology? The easiest thing would say, well, what do you mean? If the Gemara says something, it must be true. And many of you in this room will be familiar with the rules and the regulations that exist and how one is supposed to approach Agadic material in the Gemara. So Chazal say Chazal makes meant it literally. And others say no, sometimes it's meant to convey a slightly different, more subtle nuance, subtle different point than the simple meaning of the thing. So are we dealing here with a historical individual who happens to be called Yeshu HaNotri? Or are we dealing with the founder of Christianity and his Gospels and his disciples? So if we take a step back and we look away from the patient, well, are we listening to a trial of his students, that Chazal gave his students, or maybe it's just a theological debate? It sounds like a debate. Now, even if you're going to say this Matthai is in fact Matthew, he never met this individual that the Christians called Jesus.
Yes.
He never met him. And what's the passage that Chazal is putting into their words? Matai Abo Beret and Elohim. What is Chazal putting into the mouths of Christianity? That there is a need, so to speak, to have a God to be able to see face to face. Matai Abo Beret and Elohim. That's their claim. The Gemara responds to such a claim is Matai Yamud Ravat Shemo. When are you going to die? So did this take place in the basin way back when? Or are Chazal teaching us what should be the Jew's attitude towards the earliest sniff of the Christian movement? And as a caveat, I think we have to remember this, and that is that the early Christians were all Jews. And these Jewish Christians made a lot of trouble for the Jews that they lived around them at the time. So when exactly did this happen, or is it just a rabbinic attitude to what should have happened? Issue 1, killing an Arab Yom Tov, is an issue. The 40 days is also rather bizarre, the Kruz Yosef and Afon Amar Ben Yom, that's also rather strange. And the idea of making exceptions because of Korah Lemarcus, the response of Ula, is also hard to understand. Because the Christians only began to have connections with the Roman government much later on. So what are we being told over here? Is there a story between the lines that Christianity is indeed illegitimate? And as far as us, Hashem and Soramitis should be concerned, their philosophy is bankrupt. And whoever they claim to have been their father, the founder should have been executed. That's it. Alternatively, maybe this Gemara is an admission. It does say quite clearly that we killed him. Famous question, didn't we kill him? Not kill him. Says quite clearly we killed him. The only question is, does the Gemara mean what it says? This is confusing, and now it gets even more complex and more confusing. The fact is, at the end of the shiur, I have more questions than answers. When my Gemara, my Rebbe used to say, Yeshiva can have unanswered questions as well. So at face value, yes, we killed him. But it's difficult to know when, it's difficult to know whom, it's difficult to know where. Let's go on. If you do it, actually, the rest of the Gemara I'm not going to do now. He goes to each of his five Talmidim and shows how their claims are not really claims. And the same philosophies run through it. The Gemara Sanhedrin is far more interesting. The Gemara on Kutzayin. There's a little bit of background over there. The Gemara there is teaching us the proper way that you should treat your students. The Gemara says that if the student's not behaving properly, push him away with your left hand, draw him close with your right hand. Your right hand represents force, so you draw in with complete strength. Your left hand is not as strong, so therefore when you discipline quantitatively. The Gemara starts off by one of the small dofemi and me karevet. Look here, Elisha should ask for your gay because of your shame. Not like the story with Elisha. Elisha that pushed away gay because he was two hands. He went too far. And then it says in brackets that this is the Israel's Hashash, look here, Yeshua ben Brach. Now, Shua ben Shetach, just a bit of background, was the head of the Sanhedrin, and his sister was Heleni Amalka, and she was married to a lovely fellow called King Yana. Now, King Yana was not a very nice guy, and as a living, he killed rabbis. Not a great thing. So the Gemara says like this, Rabbi Shua ben Prachya Mai Havi. What happened there? What was the story? It's in the small print at the bottom there. It's orange in mine, it might be red in yours, I'm not sure it's colored. In grey. There you go. Come back home. So what happened? Samasa Bitramane Ahushpiza, they stayed over an inn. This is Yeshua and Shuban and Prafia, stayed over at an inn. After the Yeshua, so the innkeeper gave them a lot of respect, a lot of honor. So Rakshuba and Raka made the following comment. Amakama Yaki Aksani is, how lovely is this Aksani? Now Aksani can have two interpretations. It can either mean the actual inn, or it can mean the innkeeper. So this lady was either a woman who was very striking in her beauty, and that's what he meant. Or you say, it's a very nice inn. So Amar Le Rebbe, the Yeshua said to Rabbi Shogun Prachia, hey, Ne Truta, is this what you're looking at? You're looking at what? Are you the rug? What are you doing? So he turned back to him, Amar Le, Rabbi Shogun Prachia said to Yeshua, Rasha, you wicked man, Bekachata Oisek, is this what you're dealing with? Apikab Remel, this is for Gesham, can you put him into Chayr? You would think that you're off thinking like this. I was referring to the end, not referring to the innkeeper. After the Kamei Kamazimni, Amar Le Kablan Rohavi, so he came back to him several times to do Tshuba and he wouldn't accept him. Yamachada because Kriyash Mishma, in fact, this morrow he was learning, he was saying Krishma one day. After the Kamehdi came before him, Tabele Kabule, after the Miyadi, he went, like you say to Mishnachin, and he thought that he was pushing him away again. So he went off, Azza Zakir Levinte Vishtapa, he did a voice of Zora, Amale Hada, because he said, come back. He said, no, I have a teaching from you, but once you go ahead and you sin, he calls others to sin, and I'm speaking the other of the truth, but there's no way you can do true anymore. Damar Mar, Yeshu Tisha, Behate, Behdiyah, and Yisro. So this Gemara is really different. Firstly, it has a historical context. Here we talk about the lesson in Musa. And the lesson is that you push away gently, that you reach out with greater strength, and the same applies to parents, to children. Essentially, what the Gemara is saying here was quite an indictment against Rabbi Shimon ben Prachya, is that he mucked up, he was too extreme in his discipline, he pushed away too hard. They say that he was a, because of him, he was a, we have the Christian movement necessarily, but that seems that the Gemara seems to be implying. And by the way, for those that are familiar a little bit with the Pirkei Avos, this is the same Rabbi Shimon ben Prachya, and Pirkei Avos it says that it's on the Quran and the Kapitul. So how that gels with his main philosophy is also a bit strange. Would the Gemara have made up a story and made a tunnel of God just to prove a point? Absolutely not. That usually would be done anonymously. There is no way in the world that the Gemara would have fabricated Lashon Hara about a Tana unless this actually happened and unless this is our tradition. Part of the Masorah Torah Shabbat Peh. That's one point. Another interesting thing is we know that Rabbi Shimon ben Prachya lived at least 150 years prior to the JC that we met. So these two stories in the first two sources that you have in front of you, are they the same person or are we dealing with two different people? Now, if in the room some of you would may think that in our history there was only ever one person called Yeshua, as they translate as Jesus, you may argue there may have not any been as many sinners as him. But for those that are familiar with the book Josephus, he mentions that there are 21 different people called Yeshua, and none of them are these people. It's quite a popular name. Now, is it possible that these two people are different? Yeah, of course it's possible. But generically, anyone claiming to be the false Messiah or the Messiah was born himself Yeshua because that comes from Yeshua, which means Savior. But we all know from our youth that Yeshua says the acronym Rosh Hashanah of Yimashem over Zichrei. Maybe that's what Chazal is referring to over here. Two Gemaras just to put in the back of your head. There's another Gemara. The Gemara here is discussing a halacha on Hilchos Shabbos. We know that on Shabbos 1, the 39 Lachot, he's not allowed to write. Can't write on Shabbos. Mishnah wants to know, are you allowed to scrape letters into your skin on Shabbat? Is that considered a problem or not? Much like a tattoo, are you guilty or not guilty? So the Gemara says on Shabbat, you have the sources on the sheet. Underlined over there, HaMesaret al-Gesaron, Mishnah says the person that scratches into its letter of Yed and Achayev Chatat, he says you're liable. HaChamim Poishan. HaChamim say not. You're exempt. Why are you exempt? Moses, because it's not the darkness. Not the norm to write onto your flesh or to etch letters into your flesh. Gemara says as follows: Tani Amar Rabbi Yehuda Hacham. We have to say back to the Hacham. Now look, and start a hoytik shopping when we sign the street she'al betarol. What do you mean? We have an example in history of an individual called Ben Stada who took out of his tribe things written on his head. And Rashi there comments: Shelo'ya yachol lohodiyah ketuvim shayu hachol zemim botim kol ayoytim shelo'yotik shopping in London in name of the Eretz. The wizards and the magicians in Egypt were concerned that the witchcraft shouldn't get out of Egypt. They used to check all the people leaving Egypt, make sure they wouldn't take the magic spells out of Egypt. This guy came along and wrote them on his flesh. So you see, it is a normal thing to do. The Gemara says that the Rabbanim responded, Amar Lo, yeah, we agree it happened, but Shoytai. Since Tadu was an idiot. Then they're being Ryan in a Shoytai. Don't bring proofs from idiots. Now, on this, there was a bit taken out, as if he's throwing it to Shas, and this gets a bit confusing, so we'll do this slowly. Gemara says, Ben Stada. Ben Stada, what do you mean Ben Stada? Ben Pandria. His name was Ben Pandria, he was the son of Pandria. On this, Rufista says, no, Baal Stada. The husband's original name was Stada. Boyel Pandria. The accomplice, the lover, his name was Pandria. So he was the son of Pandria. Gemara says, what do you mean? Baal, the husband's name, was Papa Ben Yehuda. Papa Ben Yehuda, not Pandria. So, by process of elimination, who was Stada? Imoy Stada. His mother was called Stada. Well, so that's also problematic, because Imoy, Miriam Magdalene Nisiai, his name of his mother was Miriam Magdalene, for those who are familiar a little bit with this text. Kedamirim from Gadita will see this come on in a second, Stata Mibala. Papa Ben Yehuda, we know, acted in an inappropriate fashion. He didn't trust his wife. And he used to lock her up in the house before he went out. She got out the window and she had an affair. Moran Gittin says, you have this in front of you, just as men differ in the treatment of their food, so they differ in the treatment of their wives. Some people, if they fly, falls into their cup, they throw out the whole thing, they decide not to drink it. This is the midah of Papa Ben Yehuda. He used to lock up his wife and then leave. Rashi here explains what exactly happened. Baal Asher Miriam Megalda Nasiai. He was the she was the hairdresser, but he was the husband of Miriam Megalda. He was concerned his woman, his wife, was used to flirt with the men. He used to lock her up at home. She shouldn't speak to anyone. Not a proper thing to do. Please note that Rashi does not say it's possible to lock your wife up. Not a proper thing to do. Don't quote me in that. The likelihood is if you lock your wife up at home, it will create machlokes, and that's indeed what happened. She committed adultery while married to Papa Ben Yehuda. What else do we know about Papa Ben Yehuda? The famous Gemara in Brachot, that when Rabbi Akiva is caught teaching Torah publicly at a time when the Romans said he wasn't allowed to teach it, Papa Ben Yehuda came up to him. This is the next Gemara. The Gemara says, it's a couple lines down, Parabonon, four lines down at the end. Parmata Kalamatus Arisha, the Romans decreed to Loyatri Torah. Bar Papa Ben Yehuda, Master Rabbi Akiva Shayamati, Peter Barabi Moise Vetor, is teaching Torah in public. And here, you see the chutzpah of the man. He did not refer to him as Rabbi Akiva. Amalei Akiva! He has done with Jerry Ben Amal, but he was afraid for the kingdom. He's teaching in public, he's liable to be put to death. That was the great chutzpah. And he gives him the famous model. We all know the story when we all know Teda with the little fox and the fish. And then they end up in prison. Kiva, Rabbi Akiva ends up there for that reason, but teaching Torah, he ends up there for another reason. And when he's in the prison, then he refers to him as Rabbi Akiva, but later on in the Gemara. Now Rabbi Akiva died, the Erech, from my research, roughly 130, 132. Not definite. But one thing's clear over here, that if Papa Ben Yehuda is visiting Rabbi Akiva in prison, and his wife is the one who mothered Ben Stada, so he is much later on than the students of Yeshua Ben Brachia and the hero of that film several years back, which is very controversial. Which is probably what is bothering Tosfos. The Tosfos, again, the church also censored out Tosfos. And if you think it was just the Gemara, they censored out Tosfos. And here, I put it on your page, on your sheet. It's the Gemara, Shabbos 104 there. Kufdalet. Tosfos knows the timeline. So Tosfos says, Ben Stada, Omer Rav Natan, the end of Yerushalayim. First edition, this is not referring to the Yerushalayim that we all know. They have been started a minute and a half at the Habib Bimei Papas Ben Yehuda, the Habib Bimei Rabbi Akiva, as the Gemara we just said. He was in the days of Rabbi Akiva. The Yeshua Yavimei Rishu Ben Prachi, because the Mukha Ben Prachi is the Soita, the Loisha Rishu Ben Prachi, Shadach Li Yeshua, not to be Shea Adayim, as we just thought earlier on. Now, Miriam Megadah Messiah Hayah, this was a hairdresser. For those that were a little bit familiar with the New Testament, or the ones not supposed to learn it, which by the way, the head, if you want to push up the missionary, as does Ari Katz in his work. I had to do that when I was in university. I studied part of the text to push them away, and there are no commentaries on the New Testament. It's quite clear cut. And there's no answers. Once you propose that, you show them that they have no issues, and they don't come back to you anymore, because there is nothing to say. In that book, there is a woman called Mary Magdalene. Now, there's two Marys in the New Testament. One is the famous, what they call the Virgin Mary, the mother of their Messiah. And the other Mary is a Zoina who becomes Yeshua's girlfriend. But he accepts all people, even if they're sinners. So they're two different people. The Gemara comes along and reverses that. So actually, you should know, no. The mother was the Zoina, the other way around. Not the other way around. Not the way we have it in your book. Because what we say, our tradition is correct. Why was she called Ben Stada? The Gemara concludes of their Stada Mibaila, the one that cheated on her husband, that's Ben Stada. So this is a serious halachic discussion. Rabbi Yehuda is trying to prove the point of scratching on a flesh on Shabbat is like writing his bilayel for Shabbat. It's a real case. It's a halachic point. The rabbi said, yeah, it did happen, but he was an idiot. Don't bring riots from idiots. Conclusion, the Gemara in Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi was also sent to the Gemara in Yerushalmi on the Ein Zayin. Rabbi Yehuda ben Dama was the nephew of Yishmael. Gemara said that he was bitten by a snake. Gemara said, Masad Rabbi Yehuda ben Dama, Nashor Nachash. He was bitten by a snake. Ubay Yaakov Ishkfar, this guy called Yaakov came. Sama, Ishkfar Sama, the Rapoy. So now, over there, there's three stars which I put down there. And the Girsa, which was taken out, was Mishem Shal Yeshu Pandria. The name of Yeshu Pandria. So Pandria is Yeshu. The law hangi lo Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel did not allow him to be healed this way. Yeah? Amar loy, so Yeshu Pandria. Amar loy, ami mevirayah shebenu. He said, I bring a riot that it worked. Loy speak la virayah shemet ben Dama. Ben Dama died in the interim. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel said to him, Ashrecha ben Dama sheyotu b'shalom min ha'olam. Praise are you ben Dama that you left this world in peace. The law parasa gedirin shacham. He didn't break down the fences of the rabbis, the chomin. If they broke gedirin shachinu nachash. Those that break down the rabbi's fences will be bitten by a snake. If you would have heard over here, the loy nachash nashko, ela shelo shelo yishenu nachash atido. It doesn't mean this world, but it's in the world to come. Umar haven elam enimar, asher yati otam adam v'chai ben. So there were already people in his time who were faith healing in Yeshua's name. And Rabbi Shmuel said, actually, no way. Counter to everything that Torah represents, you cannot be healed through idol worship. So with all these sources, there's not more to say, but we have to wrap up. All the Gemara that we've quoted in here, bar the first one, has details. It has names, it has places. So again, in the first Gemara, when the Gemara says we killed him, are we dealing with a historical individual, or are we dealing with the people that the Jewish Christians used to revere? And this is what the Gemara is saying, is what we should have done to him in his gospel, not necessarily we did do it to him. Other problems that we encountered was that one of our Yeshuas is five before the New Testament Yeshuas that we know of. And by the way, the Gospel, the Matthew, Luke, all those stories, are four different stories of the life of J.C., and they're all contradictory, all written by people who never met him, and they're trying to create a new PR for their religion. Of course, the Gemara is much more trustworthy. The challenge we have is finding the text, which we did find, is the issues are interpreting them, because there's many conclusions we can make. One conclusion is that there's definitely more than one man, presumably called Yeshua. The Yeshua of Shumran Prachi lived far before the New Testament. You could argue that the guy in the New Testament is based on this character of the Shumran Prachi, even though he lived far beyond that. Was there one or was there two puppets that he was there? That's not clear either. And is Yeshua Pandria that we have in the Gemara Yerushalmi, is that the same as Yeshua Notri or not? Unclear. I had seen suggested, I can't remember where I saw this, that perhaps what the New Testament did is take all these different characters and merge them into one. Make the Yeshua that we know. But it's not clear. But what is clear is that our third MS, their New Testament is full of rubbish. Quite clear. I give you several examples. And when I was in university, there was a guy that began to attack me, asked me why I didn't believe in Yeshua. It wasn't something that we learned in the mirror. And he's focused on Baba Bhistia and Baba Kama. It wasn't something that we focused on. So with a little help from very slow robot and everything, I was going to have to go through part of the New Testament. And I wiped the floor with him. And he never came back. Remember, Arya Kaplan, I should point out, right in his introduction to Real Messiah, that the best thing is to avoid these people. Because the missionaries are out to missionize against you. And if you give them one argument and the answer, they'll give you another one. If in the street you start handing you the pamphlets, you know, you politely take it away and throw it in the bin. So this is someone I was going to be in university with for 3 years, I had to put him in place on day one. By way of example, Aria Leif Kellerman wrote to the Vatican with three questions on his way to becoming a criminal that he is nowadays. Question one was that if Yeshua is the Son of God as you claim, then how can he have a lineage? Question two is that the spirit between Matthew and Lucas to who the lineage was between 20 and 30 generations, even argue who his grandfather is. And the contradiction is where he had his property. And I have documents at home from the Vatican. They basically say, yeah, you're right, these countries have been bothering us for centuries, and there may be a book in the old city of Yerushalayim which has a reference to it, basically saying there's no truth. So, Baruch Hashem, we're not in that world, and our third story is Emmet, but as Kisraeli Tashat is still there. So therefore, I hope I've given you a little bit of food for thought, and you can take this with you.
We are not.